And so he finally agrees to do that, and they walk out together, and he saves the guy's life.
Family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
It's going good, Scott, but today is the day where I head south to Florida with my whole family, except only two of my family members are going with me. The rest are flying. Some are driving separately. I think we're taking three or four different shifts down, but me, Cal and Maggie leave today, and it's freezing cold here, which I hate driving in the RV when it's cold. I mean, it's 28 degrees this morning, and it's supposed to get the hot, you know, around 45 today, but that's 45 driving in our RV when you're driving down the road is equivalent to the temperature of about 40 below zero Celsius, which is also 40 below zero Fahrenheit.
So do you start warming up around Atlanta?
You know, I guess I was checking out like Nashville, and Nashville is like the nights are like 36. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be okay at night because our furnace works well, but it just, you can't use it while you're driving. So.
I think it's about time you at least get like a tent or something that you leave permanently in Florida. You know, maybe not a home yet, but
cardboard box under a bridge, something like that. Hey, you were telling me that a prayer request that you have a son who's getting his driver's license tomorrow or Thursday.
Well, let's hope so. He has his test on Thursday, and we've been doing the maneuverability in a church parking lot, and it's weird because with my daughter, she'd hit every cone until she finally got right. It, but it was like a 50-50 chance whether she'd pass, you know. With Luke, he's just kind of, he'll screw up, but then he'll like adjust, and I'm like, how do you do that? No one can do that.
That's good.
Hopefully he'll make it. We'll see.
Well, you know, I always tell my daughters, in fact, we were helping an Amish girl who came out of the Amish community, and she had to take her driver's license. And I said, if it gets bad, start crying. Don't feel sorry for it. But guys, guys, they'll just flunk you right there. Boom. Punk.
Please pray for him.
Okay, so we're going to play. Don't forget to pray for him. Tell us his name again.
Luke.
Luke. Okay, everybody pray for Luke on Thursday as you're listening to this. That's right. Hey, we got a special guest today, Scott. I've known Jim Brewster. He's the author of Glad to Do It series of children's books. It's a read aloud father-son stories about a fireman who likes to help others. He's a retired Coast Guard officer, father of five. We met years ago at Sandy Cove Ministries family camp, and you've heard me talk about it. And we kind of bumped into each other along the way from time to time at homeschool conferences and family camp. And he's also the president of J2B Publishing, a indie press specializing in helping new authors publish professional-looking books. And later on, he's going to tell us, and he's going to give us the opportunity for the first 20 people who email him at gladtodoit.net or go to his website. He's going to give you a free book. So, hey, you can't beat that. But, Jim, it is good having you with us.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me on your show. You know, we have seen each other for a bunch of years. I still have the CD on RVing you talked about at Sandy Cove. We're still considering doing that at some point. I've probably got 2 years to go before I officially retire and then maybe get out of the country. And I still wear my Family Man ball cap. My oldest son, Ben, is a fan.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. You know, I was raised church. You know, our background is that we're Christian, married, been married 41 years. We raised five children, four boys, and we home taught them. I spent a career in the Coast Guard, and it took me to Wilmington, North Carolina, where I met my wife, Katie, in church, and we got married. So she's a Southern Baptist. I was an Episcopalian. We eventually ended up Presbyterian. Of course, we were just a conservative, fundamental Christian in a non-denominational type church. We had five boys, homeschooled and raised them. Ben, the oldest, is a Marine. he works with the United States Naval Academy. He's a professor there now at the United States Naval Academy. Mm. He and Diana have all of our grandbabies. There are seven.
Wow.
And he reports to me when he found out, you know, he gave me your hat and I told him I was going to be on your show. And he said, oh, I'm a fan. He's got, get your emails. He's got your daily desk calendar.
That's
he
awesome.
He plays Bethlehem every Christmas with the kids. And Diana listens to the podcast. And so when this gets broadcast, they'll probably be listening. So hi, Diana. Hi, grandkids. Love you both.
There you go.
Our second child is Luke. He is an Apple employee at Cupertino, California headquarters, working in artificial intelligence. Wow. We're very proud of him. Rachel is with us. She's a Jeopardy whiz. She's 32. Andrew, our third boy, is also a Marine. He's a recon Marine out of Camp Pendleton, California. he's married. They have a child. He married into married an Army widow, has a child, and they did a wonderful job of raising him. And Sam, our youngest, is 27, lives in Roanoke, and he's a low-voltage electrician. We're rewiring hospital circuits for the call bell system.
Wow.
Anyways, that's kind of our background, but the reason I'm on your show and the reason I have books and I'm a published author is because of my two oldest boys, Ben and Luke.
Mm. Well, tell us about those. You know, why did you write these books? And maybe even before you tell us why you wrote them, tell us about, you know, the purpose of the books.
Yeah, thank you. When I was raising, I come from a really good family, two parents. We all loved each other, liked each other, got along. It was pretty creative. I duplicated that with my family. I modeled my dad with my kids. Hmm. And I was in a circumstance, I was commuting an hour and a half to work. I was away from the house a lot. And so my role was, when I got home, was to purposely have father-son time with the boys. And that resulted in putting them to bed. And I started telling them stories. I wanted to do things with them, father-son, testosterone type things. Mm-hmm. And that's basically why the books are good for any of your family men, is that they help dads raise their boys and allow them to be boys. And I did that as a sidestep. I also want to teach my boys, my ministry gift is the gift of helps. Mm-hmm. And I want to teach my boys that when they grow up as Christians, they're supposed to help people. But when they get thanked profusely for being such wonderful people, they're really just good servants because they're doing what Jesus told them to do. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to teach them that, and firemen do that all the time. You thank a fireman for their service. They're just grateful they could help. And they say, go forth and, you know, sin no more type thing. So I told them a series of stories about firemen. Of course, you know, young children, particularly boys, love firemen. So we ended up with this great pattern. Every night I told them a story. And the story started at the firehouse with nothing going on. And the alarm goes off. And of course, all kids know the firemen throw their coffee in the air and they run down to the truck and they get dressed for the fire and they get on the truck and they go to the fire. And it turns out that every night that happened in the stories, and the boys worked out a pantomiming of getting dressed for the fire. Then I told them whatever rescue I could think of. And then it ended. The moral of the story was, it always ends with thank you, thank God, glad to do it. So that the person they help always says thank you. They always immediately thank God for some aspect of the rescue. And it's as generic as that. But it shows the children, it shows children that adults other than you have God in their life. But then, because he knows he's a servant, not a hero, he always responds a lot like Dudley Do-Right at the Canadian Mounties, looks him in the eye and says, glad to do it. And of course, the kids caught on right away. That's their sentence. And so we ended up having a blast doing it. They couldn't wait to do it every night. And I told these stories. That's how the stories got started. I know you have lots of family men who are doing the same thing with their kids. They're making up stories. They're spending father-son time with them. I just was in a set of circumstances where someone told me how I could make them into books and do them professionally. And now I'm helping other people duplicate that in their life.
Well, you started with fireman books. How'd you end up with police and EMT stories?
Well, that was really cool. We created four fireman books, found an illustrator through a website up in Canada, did a wonderful job on our books. We went to the Pennsylvania Homeschool Convention, CHAP, our very first show, selling our books. And about the third person who came to our booth said, my dad's a fireman. Well, two things happened. A fireman and policeman came up, attracted by our first responder booth, and said, what about us? When are you going to write police? When are you going to write EMT stories? But what changed everything was this lady who came up to us and said, my dad's a firefighter in New York City. He's always telling us about this rescue he did and it's why he loves being a fireman. And she told us her father's rescue. And in this particular rescue, he goes to fire. The building is in flames. He puts his ladder up to the fifth floor and the man at the window won't come out onto the ladder. And they start arguing at the top of the ladder. I'm here to save you. You won't let me do it. What's wrong with you? And the guy inside finally says, could you please come on in the building and we'll share your oxygen and walk out of the building together. And the fireman looks up. This place is so full of smoke. He can't see. He does not know the building. So rightfully, he says, I can't do that. And that's when the guy in the building says, I'm blind. I can get us out. I get out in the dark all the time because I'm blind. I don't want to get on your ladder. And so he finally agrees to do that. And they walk out together and he saves the guy's life. Wow. And I learned from that to one, do fire police, do other first responders. But two, we shifted to using real stories as opposed to the stories I made up.
Wow. Wow, that's powerful. Well, you told me once that you stopped telling the stories to your boys after a little while. Why was that? And do you have any lessons learned for us as family men?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. I'm a high burst, short duration type person. I probably have ADHD.
A sprinter.
No kidding. I made the mistake of developing a format where at the end of every story, after Uncle Rocky said, glad to do it, and the kids shouted, glad to do it with Uncle Rocky, I'd then say, tomorrow night, Uncle Rocky, and I would come up with the theme for tomorrow night's story.
Wow.
So I made the mistake of trying to come up with a theme every night, but I also did it every night. And after a while, I couldn't keep it up. And if I had been smart, I would have done storytelling two nights a week or three nights a week with some other activity filled in, and I wouldn't have come up with a theme. So during the day, I could research a fire. I could come up with a different event. And we might have kept it going for a couple of years. But that was the real lesson learned, is that I was gung ho on this particularly good thing, and then I ran out of capability.
right. I think P.T. Barnum said, "Always leave them wanting more." So just don't give them enough. Don't give them too much. Yeah, that's yeah. Brilliant. I can't tell you how many times I've done exactly that. Like, this is a great idea. I can't keep it up. You know,
right? And I got other things to do.
Well, you know, again, you know, what about family men who are telling stories to their children and think it'd be worth publishing them or have their story ideas, you know, but don't know what to do? Because honestly, I get people who will tell me, oh, I tell these stories to my kids. Do you think anybody else would like them? You know, since you've started this publishing business, can you help them?
So the short answer to both of those is yes and yes. The first question was, you have family men who say, would anyone like these stories? The answer is yes. If they are having a good time telling it to their children, then other adults will enjoy the same type of event. And I published these because of the two parts of the book, the getting dressed for the fire sequence that starts, the kids just couldn't wait to act out. And then at the end, when Uncle Rocky says, glad to do it, and my kids just almost didn't care what the story was. They'd hear my voice begin to modulate. And Uncle Rocky turned, looked him in the eyes and said, and they'd go, glad to do it. And that's how we end the story. So if you're having that kind of fun, if they're having that kind of fun with their kids, other families will enjoy it the same way. So this, yes, it's worth writing them down and publishing it. And the second is, I help people who have ideas get them published. And the reason why I can do that is that the publishing industry has changed so much and the technology has changed so much that now, very inexpensively, you can get a professionally published and printed book for almost no money.
Right.
That makes it accessible to anyone who wants to spend some time writing it down. And my expertise is, I help them edit it, I help them format it, I help them avoid all the mistakes new authors avoid, so that when they give the book to their parents say, wow, as opposed to, well, I'm glad you're doing something, keep at it.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, and I can just attest to that. Because I had a guy who went to our church. He was a missionary and he wanted to do some grandpa tales from the mission field. And so he produced these books, and At the time, there was no print on demand. So print on demand, if you don't know, you can order small quantities, even single copies.
Right.
So he went to the printer that I used, and he had to get 1,000 copies.
Right.
He spent $18 per copy. So I'll let you know what the cost of that was.
No kidding.
And he was a missionary. And after a while, I mean, and I saw the books, and honestly, they were not very professional. They right. were just not very good, but they were full color through the whole thing. And I know he had high hopes. Eventually, I asked him how many he came to me, and he said he had sold less than 20 copies.
Wow.
And yep. he gave them back to the publisher. He said, if you can give them away, go ahead. And then the publisher gave them to me, and I kept them for a while. And then I took them to the recycling bin and
right.
threw away $18,000 minus 20 copies, right. You know, in the dumpster. And I think, man, Jim, if you can help guys, you know, in a very inexpensive way or a less expensive way to yeah. get their, because I think, you know, and here's my thing, and that this is why I think Des ought to see you, is because people will say, well, I've got this great idea. What do you think I should do? And I always say, well, let others see it, you know, because it doesn't do anybody any good. You know, if you just keep your good idea and you leave it on your computer right. or in your right. head. I mean, yes, there's value telling your children. I think that's a huge value if it goes no yes. further than that. But I think, you know, if you can help them, you know, let other people see it, I think that's a great thing. And you never know what might happen.
That's so you never know. Who would have thought 25, 30 years ago when I was telling the stories that I would now be a publisher of books with right. over 100. You know, I've got 25 of my own reprints of a whole bunch of others, and wow. I have all kinds of people. So at my website, gladtodoit.net, so Uncle Rocky's phrase is glad to do it. So the phrase, the website is gladtodoit.net. You can see all of the other non-Brewster children's books that are there, or testimonies, poems are easy to publish. There are a lot of people who like to write poetry. Anyway, you'll see the range and breadth of books that I help people publish. If I might, what most people don't know, you mentioned print on demand. Most people don't know the books they buy through Amazon are usually printed on a print on demand machine the night they buy the book.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. They have a 17-foot long Xerox machine that you hit go, and it prints out a completely done book when it gets to the other end. Mm. And that's why, with the new publishing, you can afford to just buy one book of your. You could write your book, send it to Amazon, use a print-on-demand methodology, get one copy to say you've done it, and you're done, or you can get 15 copies to give to your family, or you can let Amazon do worldwide marketing for you. Mm. And my expertise is helping people do that. Just so you know, my services are free to anyone who wants to avail themselves of me. If we have to pay for anybody else, an editor or an illustrator, they will pay those costs. But my services to review their work and publish their book is entirely free. That's kind of like my ministry.
Well, that's a pretty good business model to take advantage of. I'm not getting into that business.
That's why I still have full-time employment.
Well, you know, but I'll tell you, Jim, the thing I like about your books is that they are purposeful. You know, not that it's not just fun to talk about fun things, but even just that glad to do it, that's a pretty powerful thing. I would love my kids to go. I'd love to say, hey, take the garbage out. And they'd go, glad to do it, Dad.
Right.
I mean, and really, after hearing that, I assume your kids do start saying that. Maybe not every time, but they do see that. They do want to model that, you know, or.
Yep. That's exactly what happens. You can use the characters to help manage your children. More importantly, the other thing the books do is that they show our books have identifiable adult characters. They're not cartoonized Dalmatians. Mm-hmm. They're adults, it's people they can go to for help. And the fact that we use real stories and we include a citation in the front of the book citing the officers and departments involved, they can say, here, these are the people who did this. They're people you can go to, you can trust and get help from them if you need it.
And then again, that's part of that purpose. I mean, that's very yeah. intentional. Yeah. That's not just a, you know, it just didn't turn out that way. Well, have you written other things besides that?
thanks for asking. I tell people about my books wherever I go, and usually waiters and waitresses have to hear me talk about it. I asked if they got kids, and I ran across a waiter who was a single dad and could not find any father-son books to read to his son. And then he told me he realized he couldn't find any family books. So I sat down, I wrote 6 books about a family, husband and wife married with 3 children. They like each other, they get along, they help each other. They're called The Pete and Petey and The Steve and Stevie. One's Caucasian and one's African-American set of stories. And it shows, you said a husband and wife would get along, and 3 siblings who help each other out. So what happens in the books is, in general, the father and son, Steve and Stevie, Pete and Petey, are named after each other. They come up with a project or some activity, and then the family gets involved in helping them finish and resolve it. There's usually mom and the daughter come out with milk and cookies somewhere in the process. And at the very end, it shows them enjoying themselves as a typical family. It models a functional, working, loving, safe, family.
Wow.
And
again, very purposeful and intentional. And I really, really like that.
It's our effort to plug the holes, leaks in the dike that we see in front of us, which
I was talking to a guy. He was saying he was starting an internet thing. You know, he was going to sell items. And he said, you know, really, the way you sell things is not to come up with a great idea always, but it's to be seeing what people are wanting and then fill that need. And really, that's kind of what you've done. You've seen a need for, like you just said, a guy who wants some family stories. And so you're meeting that need. And I think that's a great, great thing.
Thank you.
Well, how about, you know, kind of our time's coming to a close, because I've got to go to
school
co-op PE, and then I got to go to Florida. But how about, you know, last thoughts?
So let me tell you what the Family Man deals are. Actually, it's even better than that. If people will go to my website, first thing they can do at gladtodoit.net, they can download an electronic version of the first book for free and just check it out and see if they like it. The first, it's up to 30 now, not 20, but the first 30 people who send me an email through my website, I will send them a free book. And then the last part is that I will have a Family Man page on my website. The books are normally $11 a piece on Amazon. I'll sell my books for $9 a piece to any Family Man who wants to buy them. Wow. And then I'll still throw in a free book as part of that order.
Wow. That's a really good deal. And guys, you're never going to get that kind of deal at my website. So take advantage of his. You can probably talk him into him paying you later on. Jim, it's been a pleasure having you on here, and your boys who are listening. You got a good dad. I may have to go work on this Glad to Do It with my kids.
It's been a treat. You really have got a great ministry going, as you know. Sometimes you get responses to say that. Other times you just pray at night that what you're doing is making a difference. Yeah. From the aspects of my family, the people I've seen at Family Cove, you're just one of the many ways people are using to shore up their foundation so that life goes well. So thank you very much for what you're doing.
Well, I like hearing that. Well, have a great day, and say hello to all your sons and daughter when you see them.
I'll do that, Todd. Thank you so very much.
You're supposed to say, I was glad to do it.
Oh, I'm glad to do it.
There you go.
Hey, Jim, is there a special web address for the Family Man page on your site?
Actually, if they would just go to gladtodoit.net, gladtodoit.net, when they get there, they will see either on the landing page, they'll say Family Man, click here, or I'll have a separate page in the tabs that says Family Man activity.
There you go.
Sounds great. Well, hey, Jim, thanks for taking time to do this.
Thank you. I'm glad to do it. Have a great day.
Okay. See you, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Well, Scott, you know, I just hope maybe that you and the dads and me, we're just encouraged to keep doing what we're doing. Maybe, my takeaway was his intentionality at the beginning of just a busy dad who wanted to spend some time with his kids, you know, and he used bedtime as a time to do that. And I think that's a great thing for a busy dad to do, because I know we're busy and it's hard to carve out parts of the day because we're gone all day. But I think it pays off huge dividends. And then to the dad, you know, who maybe has been telling these goofy stories with a little point. And I know lots of you have because you've shared those with me. Maybe you could take advantage of Jim's giftedness and he could help you do that. And for free, you can't beat that. And so let me just encourage you to maybe talk to your kids and say, do you think anybody else would like these? And see what they think and maybe move with that. But
you know, I was thinking my boys are more or less grown now, so I don't read them bedtime stories anymore, but I could have used these when they were younger, and it all of a sudden hit me, hey, you know, I'm not a grandpa yet, but I maybe at some point in the future.
Yeah.
And these would be great for my grandkids. So,
because there's a lot of, as my wife will say, drivel out there, you know, that comes for the little kids. That's just, you know, princesses and, you know, because I'm a Disney fan and everybody knows that. But their message is really junk.
Yeah.
You know, believe in yourself. If
all
you
the
believe in
die.
Yeah. And all the parents die. But, you know, really, it's a way more than believing in yourself. In fact, I just saw an article where some dad, we should go find him and beat him up. But he degenderfied all the Disney princess stories. So, you know, instead of Ariel, you know, I guess, I don't know if he's drawn them or what he's done. I don't know if he's an artist, but he's, instead of like
just
Ariel, you know,
we don't want to know.
Instead of her serving, you know, Prince Eric, she, you know, is on TikTok looking for somebody else, you know, and it's just junk. So they've taken dribble and they've taken it to
a whole
turn
new
it
level.
Into something worse, into something worse. So. Well, hey, I can't keep talking like this. Dads, if you remember, pray for me as you listen to this, because I'll be hopefully in the middle of Florida, or not in the middle. I'll be in the middle of the country heading down to Florida, maybe in Atlanta about this time as you listen. Either that or I'll be broken down in some kind of place that's working on it, and I will not be happy. So pray for me that I'll be a good dad along the way. And Dad, I sure appreciate you and all that you do. I haven't made a big deal about it yet, but we got a bunch of calendars that have shown up. They're ready to go out. I'm going to make a bigger deal about it. I've been getting kind of waiting because I've got a new Family Man cap that's coming out. It should be here when I get back, and it's super, super cool. And actually, I've got two new Family Man caps that are super, super cool for dads of all types. So anyway, well, have a great weekend. If you got some more buttoning up to do in your house, make sure you include your kids. Don't assume anything. Like I told my son, my 15-year-old son, to go around and shut all the windows and lock them. Just because, you know, I don't want any drafts coming in. And I did it, Dad. And the first three I went to were not locked. And he goes, I didn't know that's what you meant. And I'm like, then you should have asked me. You know, so don't assume they know anything. So have a great weekend. And don't forget, you to Dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at Scott at unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.